in our walk with Him. Hallelujah. This evening, I would like to have us discuss a little bit about the Holy Spirit. I may not be able to finish it, but at least we'll have to go home with something that will be of benefit to us. And my very small title is, Do You Need the Holy Spirit? And Do I Need the Holy Spirit? Do you have an answer to that? Do you need the Holy Spirit? Okay. Me too. I need the Holy Spirit, and that's desperately. I would want us to bow down our heads. Our voices spoke to us in the song, Master Speak, Thy Servant is Listening. I am here to hear you. Can you please pray for yourself? Father, in the name of Jesus, speak, O Master. Well, we are here to hear you speak to us, and that your name will be glorified, that your name will be magnified in our personal lives. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Deep in my heart, deep in my heart, I need the Holy Spirit deep in my heart. Let there be a flow of your heart towards Him. The Holy Spirit. I just want you to give me your attention as I, you know, talk about the need for the Holy Spirit in our lives. I need the Holy Spirit, and I guess you do too. And one of the reasons why you and I need the Holy Spirit is because we need a transformation of our personal lives. We need Him to transform us. We need Him to be able to make us to be more like Jesus. That's what we mean by that transformation. And like I said, it is not possible for us to consistently live the kind of life that God would demand from us and that God would desire us to live without the Holy Spirit. It is not going to be possible for you to live that kind of life that Jesus would want you to live in such a way that He would be pleased with your life. Because that is what really matters. Each and every one of us, we are called by Him to live a life to satisfy Him. He is not calling us to live a life that will satisfy somebody else. You know, somebody will want us. No, something that Jesus wants is Him first. He wants us to live for Him that kind of life. Because the Word of God tells us that not by power, not by might, but by the enablement of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. It is only by that enablement that comes from the Holy Spirit or that comes through the Holy Spirit that we will be able to live a satisfying life for Him. And He really desires that you and I will live to satisfy Him. It is important that you would accept that this is true, because if you do not accept it, then you're going to have a real struggle to live that kind of life for Him. That kind of life that He wants, that kind of life that will get Him to approve of us. Because when you read and study the scriptures, He is hopeful that all that you are ever going to be doing in this life will be such that will receive His approval. His approval is what He needs. Why? Why does He need that approval concerning our lives? Because He said to us that we, all of us as individuals, are going to be giving an account to Him of what we have done with this life. He has given us life to live. He will require us to give an account of that life. And so, if you do not have Him help you and enable you by His Spirit, it becomes very difficult indeed to live an approved life before Him. Any other thing that you're doing is not going to really matter for Him. If you turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 14. Let's turn to John chapter 14. I'm going to read verses 16 and 17. You know that chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17 are all the words that Jesus was speaking to His disciples. And this is Jesus speaking, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another helper, another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwells with you, and He shall be in you. He shall be in you. He wants to dwell in you, and he wants to dwell with you. Because that is the only way you will be enabled to live in a way that is going to satisfy him. And that's the only way a great work will be done in your personal life. Any other thing wouldn't matter and wouldn't amount to anything because of that. That is the reason why Jesus said, Paul spoke about what Jesus Christ said in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I will read verses 26 and 27. Paul was writing to the Ephesian Christians and he was telling them who they are supposed to be and was telling them what Jesus was saying by himself. And Jesus said, this is Paul quoting it, that Jesus would want to sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present the church to himself as a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now that tells you immediately the characteristics that Jesus is expected to see. If he enters this congregation and he's looking at every life that is sitting here, what he is looking for is that soon he is going to come. And when he comes, he's not just coming for any type of church. He is coming for a glorious church. And this glorious church will have no spot as far as he's concerned. No spot at all. It will have no wrinkle at all, or any such thing that describes these things that don't make him happy. He said it will not have it, but that this church should be holy and without blemish. And I'm saying that these characteristics for you cannot be made possible outside of the Holy Spirit. It is the only Spirit that will enable you, that will enable me to live a life on a daily basis in such a way that that life will be without spot. That life will be without wrinkle. That life, according to him, will be so glorious. That life, according to him, will be such that it will be holy and it will be without blemish. Outside of the Holy Spirit, all that you're going to be seeing in people's lives will be blemishes. And I don't want you to ever say to yourself, well, Jesus knows we are in the world. But this same Jesus says, we are not of the world. And if we're not of the world, how is he going to enable me and enable you outside of his Spirit? That's why I am pleading with us tonight, that when it is time for us to pray, that you will pray very earnestly for yourself, for your personal self, to plead with him that he should give you the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit that has the transforming power to work in your life, to work in my life. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. You cannot, it's not possible to qualify as a glorious church that he is coming for. Believe it, don't let anybody deceive you, because the scriptures tell us that he is coming for a glorious church. And when he comes, he is going to pick out members of that church that are spotless. And the question is it going to be possible? Yes, it will be. Yes, it is. It is because somebody is making up his or her mind and giving himself or herself to the Holy Spirit and giving them an opportunity of yielding yourself, asking Him to please walk in you. That's why it is going to be possible. You must not join anybody who says it's just not possible. It is possible. Because that's what He is coming for. He is not coming for a church that is spotty. No, He's not coming for a church that is filthy. He's coming for a church that is holy. He's coming for a church that doesn't have spots. Therefore, it is His responsibility with my own cooperation. When I cooperate with Him and I yield to Him, He will have freedom to work in me and work in you. That's what He would want. And He would want you to, you know, take it as seriously as possible. Because with the things that are happening, we are sure that He's coming, and He's coming, you know, very soon. Very, very quickly. Now, this kind of change that Jesus is expecting, it is not going to be possible without an evident work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's the point we're making. It means that transformation of your personal life, transformation of my life, is only possible as the Holy Spirit takes hold of me. He begins to do something. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled open face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the living God. You can see it. It said, with all, with an unveiled open face, is nothing hidden. That face that is open is looking into the mirror. What mirror is it? The Word of God is a mirror. It is a mirror that shows you who you are and who you are supposed to be. Who I am and who I'm supposed to be. It says, as I look into this law, into this mirror of the Lord, it says, a change will begin to take place. And that change is taking place because the Holy Spirit is given opportunity to begin to walk with the word which I have heard. The word which I have heard. That's what the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate upon it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make your way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. That's what Jesus is saying. It means that if you and I really want to qualify for His coming, then this book of the law must not depart from us. You must give attention to it. And it is a consistent attention. It is not an attention you give to today, and then tomorrow, you know, you forget it. A few weeks back, I was talking with one of our young people who is, you know, a teenager, and I was just trying to find out how the holiday is going, and asking him how is he enjoying the holiday, what is he using the time to do, what is going on in his life. And he said to me, well, I am reading a lot of novels. Oh, okay, that's good. And I was asking him, what kind of novels are you reading? And what kind of impartation into your life are those novels? What are the content? What are the things that you're gathering in from the novels? And as we kept on in that discussion, I was asking him, is the Word of God one of the books that you are really giving attention to and reading? And he said, well, yeah, sometimes I read the Word of God. Okay? So how are you understanding it? Well, I really don't understand it much. I'm not understanding it, and as a result, I don't like reading it. Oh, okay. But you like to read the novels. And then I began to say to him, see what the Word of God says. I quoted that Joshua chapter 1. It is not going to be possible for you to read the Word of God, understand the Word of God, if you don't give much attention to it. The Bible says, you meditate upon it day and night. Why is that so? When you meditate day and night, the Holy Spirit Himself comes upon you, utilizes what you are thinking through, what you are meditating on. It is that thing you are thinking through. You're meditating upon it. You have read it. You read the passage. You read the chapter or 10 verses or 20, whatever number of verses. And you reread it again. And then reread it again. And then think about all that you are reading. It is in the process of the thinking of what you are reading that the Holy Spirit is hovering over you and explaining that to you and impacting your heart with it. If you just read it as a storybook, it remains a storybook. There's nothing anybody can do about it. Because as like he said to me, he said, I always forget what I read. And I was trying to think with him and find out how long does it take in rereading that small passage he has read? And how long does it take in thinking about it? You must give your thoughts. Think about it. That's what you mean by meditating. You're thinking about that thing you have read. Now, as you're doing that, the Holy Spirit is right upon your heart. And the Holy Spirit is working in your heart with that word that you're reading. And when you are done with reading it, because you have thought about it, you have gotten something out of it, you understood it, most genuine Christians will go down on their knees to now pray it in. And that gives the Holy Spirit much more time. And because you are praying in what you have read, you will discover that changes begin to take place in your heart. You yourself will know it. You just know that I'm not what I used to be. You know that changes are taking place in your heart. You know that God is doing a beautiful work in you. God is beginning to enable you more than you can ever. That's what this scripture is saying. This scripture says to us, with an open face, we behold as in a mirror the glory of God. That's what this word will do. It is a mirror of God that opens my understanding to the glory of God. And before I know it, I am being changed from one degree of glory to another. It says from glory to glory. And who is doing the changing? The Holy Spirit. Now this is why the devil doesn't want you to ever spend time to study the scriptures. The devil will give you other alternatives. He will give you other ideas. He doesn't want you to study. He doesn't want you to think through. He doesn't want you to give a deep thought over what you are reading. And as long as you're not giving a deep thought over what you're reading, there's no way the Holy Spirit can work in you. It's not going to happen. You're just going to have chances of the Holy Spirit at work in the lives of every other person within that congregation, but not in your own personal life. As a result, since the devil knows he has gotten you never to really study and never to really meditate, he will now give you other opportunities for several other evil things to happen in your personal life. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. That's why I am believing God that tonight you will really, really desire Him and want Him and desperately cry out to Him. Anyone who doesn't cry out to Him cannot have Him. That's how the Holy Spirit works. It happened in the life of Samson. And Samson did not know. The Bible says he did not know that the Spirit had departed from him. And you too, you will not know. But you will come into church, you will enjoy the fellowship, but you will leave empty. And God doesn't want that. That's why I'm pleading with you tonight, because I have prayed very desperately for you. I've asked God, let a longing for the Holy Spirit come upon this congregation, and we will never be the same again. Amen. The Lord would enable you. The Lord will help you. Now, you do not know, or rather, let me say this. Many people do not know that there is a great contention over their lives in the world. The world in which you and I live in today, there is a great contention over your life. And the Word of God tells us, contend for the faith that you have received in Christ Jesus. Contend for that faith. Because if we do, we'll be doing exactly what Jude has exhorted us to do. Jude has said to us, earnestly contend, fight for the faith which was once delivered unto us. Turn your Bibles to Jude. I hope you know where it is. Okay. Jude is before Revelation. Okay. Jude has only one chapter. I want us to read verses 3 and 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to encourage and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto you, unto the saints. Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. They are ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, into everything that is impure, into everything that is an unbridled lust, into everything that is indecent, into everything that is obscene, everything that is dirty, everything that is filthy, everything that is vulgar. That is what lasciviousness means. It says to us that in that verse 4, it says, these men, they are ungodly men. And what they want to do is turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness. The descriptions I have just given. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all these ungodly fellows do. There are ungodly fellows everywhere. And you may be thinking, oh, in our church there are not ungodly fellows. It's not true. There are ungodly fellows here. And all that they want to do is to make sure that the grace of God that is supposed to be at work in you is turned into lasciviousness. And make you think that the Word of God is not that serious. We should not think it that way. You are being too strict with your life as a Christian. That's what the devil uses ungodly people to do. And in every church, under the surface of the earth, there are ungodly people. Because the devil plants them to make sure that you, that you're supposed to be going to heaven, will not get to the gates of heaven. That's why you need to cry out to the Holy Spirit tonight. To plead with him and to ask him for an enablement, for a grace that you've not experienced. He says to us, these men before old were ordained to a condemnation. What they want to happen is that your life will deny our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they want to happen. They watch you. They say things to you. They give you ideas. They talk to you. And they tell you, this is just getting too much. Why don't you relax yourself a little bit? They tell you, you don't need to be in church. You don't need to be. If you look back, you will see that 3/4 of the seats empty. You don't know what's going on? This is the work of the devil in today's church. This is the work of the devil. And the devil wants you to look around and then you'll be able to say, well, I mean, 3/4 of the people are not here today. So church is not really very necessary. So don't let me waste my time. The Bible calls them ungodly men who have turned the grace of God unto lasciviousness. That's why you've got to plead with God today and ask the Holy Spirit, please come, take over my personal life. Because, you know, brothers and sisters, when the trumpet sounds, you will answer for yourself. You will answer for yourself. There's no father that will stand on behalf of the daughter, on behalf of the son. No, it's not going to happen. Every individual is going to be answering for themselves. This is why you yourself must take hold of your personal salvation. Jude says the uncommon salvation, the salvation looks, you know, just people look at it. It is not too much, you know, to hold on to. But life that does not hold on to this salvation is not uncommon. Or rather, it's not common. It is not just a frivolous thing that we're talking about. It is that which Jesus bought with his own blood. And this is the way he wants you and I to hold on to it. It's a decision. And you know, as well as I do, that decision is for you and by you. It's for you and by you. That's what that decision is supposed to be. And that decision says, no, no, no. I do not have to reject and turn away from the Holy Spirit. I must not do it. I must not turn away from him. Every other person is not, you know, being taking it as hard as I'm taking it. Therefore, it doesn't need me to be too serious with it. It is all the seriousness. All that you can put into it to confirm your salvation in Christ, you need to put into it. You need to put into it, and you need to be able to insist for your life, for your personal life, that no, I'm not going to follow the world. I will never, never go back to the world. It's a song you should sing every day as you wake up. Because as you sing it every day, as you wake up, the devil will say, this one has been lost by me. And I'm praying that God will enable us. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to look for him. You need to long after him. You need to just be with him. Another thing that the Holy Spirit, another reason why I need the Holy Spirit, you need the Holy Spirit, is that it is the Holy Spirit who desires to build our lives with His own fruit and with His own gifts. There are many fruit. It is one singular, but with different aspects. And there are many gifts He wants you and I. Because when the fruit begins to manifest in us, you are not going to be like them. You become distinct. That's what God wants. You become very, very distinct. I would like us to read Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 20. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. It is long-suffering. It is gentleness. It is goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. It is meekness. It is self-control. And He says, against such there is no law. Verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we claim we have the Spirit of God, He's saying, let's walk in the Spirit. Let there be a manifestation. That's what it means. There should be a manifestation of the Spirit of God in us and through us. And it will become obvious that that's what God wants. Amen. So God would want to build into me by His Spirit love. There are people who are not capable of loving. They're not capable. There are people who are not capable of experiencing love themselves. Once, very many years back, we used to have a young girl. Now she's married, she's out. We used to have her. We got her in because of the troubles and the challenges in her life. And so I decided to invite the mother. The mother doesn't belong to our church. The mother is in one church somewhere. I decided to, you know, bring in the mother because I've done a lot of very serious counseling sessions with her in order to begin to recover her. And so I brought the mother to come to see me. And I was saying to the mother, I have talked with your daughter. Several things have gone wrong in her life. But we have hope because she begins to recover. So we can restore her. And the mother said, oh, okay, that's good. And I said to her, she will need you as a mother to really love her. I was expecting, okay, she will ask me, what are some of the things I can do? You know what she said to me? She said, myself, who loved me before? Who gave me love? Myself. Me, I'm trying by myself to do myself some good. I was so shocked. But I understand from Bible. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Somebody may not have experienced love in family and all the rest of them. But if the person begins to give himself or herself to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will begin to recreate her eternal being to become a loving person. In one person who used to come to our Good Morning Jesus several years ago, she she's out of town now. She was coming from very far. She was coming from far, around this, I don't know what to call that place. I don't remember that place. Before you get to challenge, the first one before that. And I discover she really enjoys Good Morning Jesus. And every day after Good Morning Jesus, she will just walk up to me. She used to sit there. She would just walk across to me to greet me. And I would just say to her, God bless you really good today. So one day, I would say to her, why are you coming all the way to attend Good Morning Jesus here? She said, Mommy G, I didn't know what it meant to be loved until I began to come to Good Morning Jesus. That the way you respond to me, the way you care for me, and the way you would always say to me, God bless you. And I will leave the church that day knowing that today God has blessed me already. It made such a great impact. Me that I'm saying God bless you, that was, I didn't have that in mind. But that's what I'm saying. When someone gives himself or herself to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit begins to take hold and begins to imbue inside the person. The Holy Spirit begins to build into you peace. There are many people who are, they are Christians and they don't have peace. Simple. The matter is very simple. They don't have peace and they cannot have peace because the Holy Spirit doesn't have a control over their personal lives. There are many people who are Christians today, but there is no joy. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. And it is possible. You can be joyful in Christ. If you go back to Him, He will implant into you His joy. Not because everything has worked fantastically well with you. No, 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 no. Simply because you have regarded Him as the one that can give you joy. That's what He wants to do. Give you joy. Give you peace. Give you goodness. Give you faith in Him. Make you believe it is possible. Make you see Him as the one that can work out all things. That's what the Holy Spirit is looking forward to doing. But He can never force Himself on anybody. He would always want me to come. It is as I come and yield myself to Him, then He will begin to do the work. If you don't yield yourself to Him, there's nothing He can do for you. He can help you. No, He can't. So there's need for us, because that is what is in His heart. He really wants to build into us every aspect of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because that is His desire. That is His longing. And so when your longing meets His own longing, forget it. You become such a great individual in His presence. He can't help it. You can't help it. He simply walks in your life. That's what He wants. That's what He wants you to do. Just yield yourself to Him. Plead with Him. Ask Him to come and work in your personal life. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Okay. I'm going to read verses 2 and 3. He says to us, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him. Amen. That is what God wants to happen to you. That the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon you. So, if you wake up in the morning and you don't go to Him in the place of prayer and spend considerable time with Him, it makes it difficult. He can't chase you around. That's why some people don't have good prayer life. They can't have it because they're not waking up and saying to God, I just want you. I need you every hour. Most blessed Lord. I just want you. This is my heart's desire. This is all I'm looking forward to. Some are waking up in the morning and they're just complaining. They're saying this. This has not happened. That didn't happen. The other one didn't happen. There is no way there can be a response. Because he who wants to do something in you is waiting for an invitation for you to come to him, to respond to him. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. He cannot rest upon the life of anybody who is not looking out for him. He cannot. It's not possible. It's not possible for that to happen. And he says, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. If your heart doesn't yearn for these things I've listed in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit cannot. He will not force himself to come upon you. But this is what he desires. That his spirit of understanding rests upon you. The spirit of wisdom. It is not something to declare over you. It's not to be declared. It is to be desired. It is to be wanted. It is for you to just give yourself to him and yield yourself to him, and he sees how you have a longing for him. He cannot help it. He will come to you. That's the Holy Spirit. He will come. He will come to you. He will surely come to you. Because that's what he wants. And he just discovers you have such a deep longing for him. He just discovered you have such a deep, you know, yielding to him. You're saying to him, Lord, I just want you. It is you I desire. Lord, it is you I want. I desire you above all things. He will respond to you. That's how he behaves. That's what the Holy Spirit does. I know it. Because I know it by experience. He will come. Why? Because your heart longing is just him. Sweet Holy Spirit, I come. And because you come, he will take you and suck you into him. And you will become. And before you know it, the great work that God is going to be doing in your life, you know, you yourself cannot fathom it. He makes it easy for him. He speaks to you. I don't know when last you had the Holy Spirit speak to you as a person. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to speak to you. He wants to explain things to you. He wants to give you an understanding of the things that are happening. He wants to make you know why, and why. Why? He wants to make you understand. Last year we were on our way to Togo for ADMI meetings. I don't know what happened in that journey. We left early, but for some reason we could not reach our destination on time. It was really very difficult for us. And so, midway, we said we're going to be sleeping somewhere, and we called one of the pastors and said to him, is there a place we can sleep? We are on our way to, you know, Togo, and we have just come into Republic of Benin. You know, he said, where are you? We described, and that place is called Boikom. And he said to us, we should locate a particular place, just stay there and wait for me. I am coming right away. And so he finally anyway came And then we talked with him and we said, okay, we need to get settled in a hotel tonight because the journey is still far and we won't be able to, you know, proceed on that journey until tomorrow morning or the next day's morning. And he was able to get us a beautiful place, and then we asked him to buy us Gary, buy us water, buy us all kinds of things. Usually, when we are going on our trips, we would have cooked soups, we have cooked stew, and, you know, just to make sure we don't get stranded. And so we got into this hotel, and we all checked in, and our sisters, they were very nice to us. We asked them, where can we cook? We brought out our gas, you know, cooker, and then they said to us, hey, you just cook around here. That was wonderful. And so all the sisters and some of the brothers were downstairs trying to cook. Because it was such a very, you know, difficult trip, I was saying to God, why are we here? Why did you bring us to this town? And what is it that made it difficult for us to be able to take our trip and get to our destination today, because we know it can be a full day's journey, just one day? I was just asking God, I was just asking him, and I'm just praying, because I was all alone in our room, and I was just praying, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God said to me, we brought you this long way because you are going to be bringing discipleship to this city. There is no way. We didn't think about that. It was not in our plan. We're not saying we are going to. No. We don't know the city where we were. We didn't know it at all. And God was saying, this is the reason why I took you through this long route. Because you are returning here. Amen. When God is planning your life, he wants this life to be yielded to him. That's what he wants. And so in the morning, I told all the brethren, we are coming back to this city, this particular one. We are bringing discipleship to this place. And everybody was excited. But then as we proceeded for our journey, I was asking myself, who is going to do the mobilization? Because it's a long trip. Who is going to help us to do mobilization here? And you know what? God had prepared a pastor who attended CLTS in July. And then, you know, during the rest of the days, we had to call him, Eda. Oh yeah, call Pastor Lawal. And let's talk to him. And then we are all talking to Pastor Lawal and telling him one of the things we would like to happen in the coming years, 1 or 2 years. He said, yeah, that is very possible, but that where it is so far away from where he is. And then he made a statement. He said, bring discipleship to my city first. God is awesome. We would like you to bring discipleship to my city first. See, you can't beat God. Your life can become God's intention in his hands if we yield that life to him. And so in June, in the next month, we are going to be going to his city, which is also very far away. Our elder and our pastors have already gone for what we call the pre-field, you know, finding out what's going to be happening there. And God is an awesome God. You know that as they went to Tyro, that is Pastor Lawal's city, they brought in so many of the pastors, asking them, explain to us what we should expect when you come. Explain it to us. And they took time, explained everything, and they said, this is great. We are expecting you. We are going to work very hard. We'll be expecting you. And then the next day, they're supposed to take their journey back here. And God brought in one of the pastors who knows the shortest cut. And so that pastor joined them in the car. And they showed the way. That means that when we are going back in June, the suffering of the other time, which was organized by God himself, it will not be so this time. Hallelujah. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit has, you know, such a great plan for you as an individual. He wants to make sure that you have the wisdom, that you receive the understanding, that you receive the knowledge. By yourself, you can't do it. That's why it is not good for you to just plan out yourself. Plan it out the way you want it. You plan it out, well, sorry, it might not work out exactly, you know, so. So the extent to which you as a person yield yourself to the Holy Spirit is also going to be the extent to which the fruit of the Spirit of God can manifest in you. If you don't go all the way and give him the privilege of having your life monitored by him, yielding that life to him, you would also be limited in how the virtues of his fruit will be in operation in your personal life. That's why I'm begging you that from tonight, that you would desire and decide to just yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Because that's what he wants to do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The fruit of the Spirit at work in your life. One of the things he's going to do is the fruit of the Spirit in all their different aspects will destroy the sins that are very prevalent in your personal life. It will just destroy it. And when it is destroying it, what will be the outcome? What will be the result of it? The result of it is that you will be living and working in the Spirit. You know, we read that chapter before. Walking and living in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 25 and 28. So you need to. I am just trying to bring you to a point that you must pause for your life and ask the Spirit of the living God to do all that he can to do in your personal life. Okay, I will begin to, you know, round up a little bit and leave the rest for some time to come. Okay? I would like us to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I will read verses 4 to 11. I'm going to read it very fast. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences in administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God who worketh all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. Let me pause here. Brothers, sisters, both young and old, is it possible for you to point out to your person what gifts of the Holy Spirit is in operation in your personal life? Which of the gifts? And how are they frequently manifesting in your personal life? I just want you to pause and think about that. Think about it. I'm just trying to say that the life you are living is not expected by God to be a useless life. Don't let anybody tell you, well, except you become a leader, except you become a this, you become a that. You don't have to become. You simply need to be a genuine Christian, that's all. You don't need a leadership position to get into heaven. Not at all. No, you don't need it. But what God desires for you and for me, as he has said here. He said, there are diversities of these gifts. The manifestations of these gifts are given to everyone to profit from. You as a person, you have a right to profit. You have a right to be someone who is going to exercise one gift or the other of the Spirit of God. Think about it as you go home tonight. Think about it and say to yourself, by the way, I have been a Christian for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10, or whatever. Which gift of the Holy Spirit is at work manifesting in me? Jesus said, I am supposed to profit from it. Every individual who has come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ has a right to profit with her. And the question is, which one of them is profiting your life? Doesn't it make you feel pain? If you have been a Christian, you should feel pain that your life doesn't manifest any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You should feel pain. Don't come into church every day. You just sit down and watch whoever is here say all they want to say, and nothing gets into you and moves you out. You have a right. If you're genuinely saved, oh yes, you have a right. What I'm saying to you here now is what I heard as a young girl. They taught us, they said it to us, and they said to us, you are young, but you have a right to benefit from the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you ask the Holy Spirit, he will give you gifts. It's true. You don't have to look for, oh, the big people, the big daddies, the big mummies, and the leaders. No, no, no. There is no leadership distinction in the register in heaven. The register in heaven is only talking about those who have come in there. Not how big they are, who they are, the personalities they represent. No, no, no. Ask the Holy Spirit. He will give to you because it is his will, because it is his desire. He longs after it. He says to you and me, the manifestations of the Spirit is given to you, is given to me, so that you and me can profit from it. Because where your pastor is heading to be with, God may be pushing you through another, you know, place. He's not coming there to minister to people. But God is going to be depending on you, that because you've let yourself into his hand, he will say, that's a veritable, you know, person that I'm going to use. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. You desperately need the Holy Spirit. You need to ask him. You need to desire him. You need to ask him. We're going to be stopping here today so that we can pray. I would encourage you to pray for yourself. If you don't pray, you will not receive. If you don't pray, you will not receive. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, sweet Spirit. Come, overflow. Come, overwhelm. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, sweet Spirit. Come, overflow. Come, Holy Ghost, come sweet. was given to me in 1998. If you were a member of this church, you will know what was happening here in 1998. A great move of the Spirit of the Living God. It was in a Thursday morning. I was in my office. I just laid on the floor and I'm saying, God, this is what I want you to do by your Spirit in my life. And then all of a sudden, God said to me, open your mouth and begin to sing. Sing what? These words began to come. God can give you better songs than this. Amen. Oh, come Holy Ghost.
Come Holy Ghost.
Oh, oh Lord God Almighty,
Zangrama purukamalingas kusatanya ingas evalia. Ye grama purukamalingas kuskishata. Here I am, O God. Oh, Rabapurukame ingas sote maria. Ze grande ingas sushi. My young grama purukamalingas kusatana. Zangrama purukamalia. Ye grama purukamalingas kusatanya ingas kus. She drama puruka. Oh, the bayingas sochetaria. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, I ask you, oh God, let your gifts come to me. Let your gifts come. Let your power come to me, oh God. Let your glory come to me, oh Spirit of the living God. A cleansing, oh God. A rejuvenation, oh God. A change, oh God. Oh, la yen kabalia. Plant yourself in me, oh God. Oh, la ma puruka de ingas kusada. Show yourself through my life, oh God. Nen kaba purin de yen dran de ingas sochetaria. Magay kaba puruka de ingas. Zandranine marikos kusada. Yekaba papa paruka pari. Zandranine. Egema puruka de ingas kusada. Come, for I am a choice vessel before you. I am a choice vessel, Lord. Lord, I'm a choice vessel for you. I'm a choice vessel for you, Lord. Oh, Shetramaparico Sataneria. Oh, yes, Lord. My young Gabapuruka Badigas Kusate. Shetra de Mapuruka Badigas Kusate. Oh, Legabapuruka de Ingas Kusate. Lord, thank you. Able God, compassionate God. Thank you, Father. Who is supposed to be praying?
Palambusuntulia. Meso prekete muskintelia. Beko palande muskoto kushkintelia. Meso prakade muskotulia. Yeka payaba sekete muskintelia. Bam pushkete rikantala busuntulia. I prokoto pushkende. Insanta lim proko pushkintelia. Basata linda mo si prokotelia. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you to enable us. We need you to transform us. We need you to draw us closer to you. That our lives, O God, we yield unto you, harvest of righteousness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, O Lord, that we may be yielded completely, totally unto you. O Lord, please help us, O God. Help us, O God. Help us, O God, to yield completely, completely, totally unto you. Those things remaining, Lord, take them away. Lord, rule, reign in us in the name of Jesus. That we may be completely transformed. That we may be transformed from within. O God, our Father. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. Let's take that song one more time. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. How much we need the Spirit of the living God. Much more than ever before. Your power. Oh, come in your own treasure.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Of our own. We cannot bring to you the type of lives that you are expecting from us without your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray, O God, our King, that you release upon us a fresh hunger for your presence, for your Spirit, for the fullness of your Holy Spirit in our lives, much more than ever before, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That we will yearn, we will desire, we will long, we will go after you until we are fully baptized with the fullness of your glory in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That much more than ever before, Lord, grant that we yield ourselves up unto you and that you work your will in our lives and glorify your name in the mighty name of Jesus. As you have told us, O God, this evening, that will be so much committed to following you until your fruit is fully manifest in our lives, consuming every work of darkness in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, much more than ever before, that nothing will satisfy us than to see you glorified in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for such gracious word that you have given to us today, and thank you for your servant. We pray for fresh grace upon her in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that we will not just hear this and push it aside, but even beyond here, Lord, we will pray. We will seek your face until freshness come upon our spirit in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, King of Glory. And we pray, Lord, for the offerings that you have brought this